The opinions and commentary expressed on the program you're about to hear do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or its advertisers, but it may weigh heavily on what's between your ears. It's the Krieger Files with Dave Krieger, brought to you by a network of radio stations who care about the communities they serve. Alexa, turn on the Krieger Files.
All right, we're here in the Thursday edition, segment, what have you. And you gotta love the fact that the Donald has gone in and blocked that spending bill. I downloaded a copy of that bill. Seriously, I have it. If you would like a copy, you can send me an email through my portal at thekriegerfiles.com, and I will respond and send you a PDF of that file so you can read it for yourself. And this is the one thing about PDFs that I love. You can go to the top search bar. You can type in certain words, catchphrases like committee or investigation or insurrection or whatever. And you can actually search to see what's there. But if you type in a term like budget, I mean, it's going to be all the way, you know, it's going to run the entire gamut. But the PDF actually breaks down and shows you where all those search terms are within the document. So you can, you know, this is something that Congress does. This is a pattern of behavior they have. They submit a 1,547-page bill on Friday and say, on Monday, we're going to vote on it. And it's like, okay, you know, when are we supposed to have time to read this? I gotta take the whole day. And see, the thing is that it's the top Republicans and Democrats in Congress that put this thing together. Seriously. I mean, this is what you're paying these people for, and they voted themselves a pay raise in this bill. And what have they done to deserve that pay raise? You know, I mean, people are critical of Congress that know that it's nothing but kicking the can down the road. There is so much pork in this bill. I am glad. I mean, this would have literally, in fact, Health and Human Services, RFK Jr., would have had his hands tied in a lot of financial respects with what's going on in this bill. Because I spent a whole hour going through search terms and looking through the basic table of contents for all these dead giveaways. I mean, there's stuff in there that is not part of keeping the government afloat. But it's pork. I mean, they were looking at billions of dollars to go to the Francis Scott Key Bridge, billions to go to the Canyon Fire in L.A. I mean, you know that Raskin and those Democratic Congress people in California were involved in putting this together. And then, of course, they vote themselves a pay raise. How many out there, raise your hand, want to see the government shut down? Do you think it would hurt America if the government was shut down? I'm sorry, but, you know, if you want to believe all the crap that Hakeem Jeffries is spewing, I'm telling you right now, the man is a pathological liar. It's just the way he is. He says stuff to get people upset and thinking that your Social Security checks and payments aren't going to arrive, and that's not true. You know, if the government shuts down, it means that Congress can't, you know, they're going to have to come back in there on their own dime and put things right, make things right. And see, what Trump didn't want was things like the bill making it easier to hide the records of the corrupt January 6th committee. The bill would give Congress a pay increase while many Americans are struggling with Christmas, according to Trump and Vance. Now, that's playing on your pocketbook, okay? But the thing is if there is anything in there about the J6 committee, about hiding those records, hiding security failures, I've been looking in this bill. I haven't found it yet, but they claim it's there. Hard to say. The demonization around Natalie Rupnow also goes by Samantha. You know, the teen that ended up turning a gun on herself after she shot a teacher and a student. The demonization has already started. Everybody now, you know, Alex Jones, Mike Adams, everybody, all the pundits out there in the alt-right media have come out and said that she's connected to a pedophile, satanic, God only knows ring. This chick is 15 years old. I mean, this is about as bad as Steve Quayle coming out and saying they hate Trump. There's going to be a new false flag to keep Trump out of office. They're going to detonate nuclear warheads in the U.S. to stop Trump. Then all these, you know, Congress people out there, you know, the Congressman Michael McCall from Texas saying, these drones are all Chinese drones and they're looking to see where our weaknesses are so they can launch it. No. You know, see, we can take the commentary and, you know, you get people riled up, and this is exactly what the alt-right does, just like what the alt-left. Alt-left would be people like Hakeem Jeffries. You know, Congress people get up there and they say stuff that, you know, basically is there to elicit emotion, because this is how they rule. All they do is they got to get people pissed off enough to do something stupid. And, of course, the FBI came out and has warned everybody, please don't shoot these drones down. And Trump is going, look, the government knows what they are and where they came from. They just don't want to tell anybody because they want to keep everyone in suspense. They want to keep everybody on the edge of their seat. It's a cliffhanger. You know, are we worried about it? I mean, have the drones actually opened fire on anybody's house? Have they blasted you with chemical weapons? Do we all need to go and run out and buy gas masks now? Make sure you got the right filter if you're going to go buy one. You know, these things aren't cheap. You know, I remember when you used to be able to buy these things on eBay for $100 a pop, and now they're like $600 or $700 if you want the really, really good one. Everybody got your EMP bag to put your cell phone in? Yeah, see, a lot of good it does if the infrastructure is not prepared to deal with electromagnetic pulse, because that would be the next thing that one would do. You see, they have to have a reason. And it's not bird flu. Folks, that hasn't caught on fast enough. Even if Newsom did declare an emergency about avian flu in California, because, you know what, 60 people got it because they didn't wash their hands, and now we're issuing protective gear to all the poultry farmers. Yeah, what protective gear is that? Are you going to make them wear a hazmat suit, or are you just giving them gloves and a mask? I mean, what are you doing? The little signs that go up on the sink saying, wash your hands after dealing with fowl. Sounds rather foul to me. This is kind of a crazy time we live in, because the Biden administration still has time to disrupt. And see, this bill, they're wrong. USA Network was wrong. What the Senate passed was not $845 billion. It was $895 billion. So that's a misquote by USA Network. Epic Times is reporting $895 billion. So nobody can get their figures straight. That's basically the bottom line here. But the Senate vote, 85 to 14 for the National Defense Authorization Act. Do you even know what's in that bill? I mean, seriously, the warmongers love stuff like this. They seriously do. You know, they want to keep promoting war. And I think that if Trump's smart, he's playing his cards right. He's basically telling Republican lawmakers, look, I don't care what that commie pig Hakeem Jeffries, alt-left Senate minority leader, or congressional minority leader rather, says. I don't care what he says. You stand your ground and you don't vote that. You defeat it. I don't want him hog-tying my administration when I get there. You see, this is the kind of crap that Congress pulls in a Democratic administration right before a Republican comes in and takes over. They want to leave Trump with a mess that's going to take them 3.5 years to clean up. Seriously. I mean, even Missouri Senator Josh Hawley, who is probably one of the more conservative folk out there, admonished the House's proposed spending bill, saying the bloated bill's passage would be hugely harmful to Trump's second-term agenda. They don't want us to read and find what they jammed into this thing. That's why they're now trying to rush a vote tonight, according to what Hawley said. And the Republicans said no. Democrats have been doing this thing for a decade, but the fact Republicans are doing it is just disgusting. And Mike Johnson, what are you thinking, sir, giving into them? I swear to God, he's another rhino. People need to be looking at naming a new House leader, because they really think that Johnson is doing Trump a big disservice. Somebody's going to pull his pants down sooner or later and expose what he is and expose his shortcomings. Not those. And this is a figurative comment I make here. This administration right now is spend, spend, spend. And some of the stuff I saw in this proposed spending bill, which the Republicans said no to at Trump's insistence, drag this out all the way into 2029. How's Trump supposed to get anything done? when they're doing garbage like this. It's an ambush, and he was right to call them out on it. We'll be back with more news after these messages. Stay with us.
Many Americans are growing increasingly concerned about the rapidly growing U.S. government deficits, recognizing that the additional printing of paper money devalues U.S. currency. To compensate, American gold and silver coins will provide wealth protection. U.S. Coin Capital provides physical gold and silver coins delivered directly to our clients. You can reach us at 1-800-878-2646, uscoincapital.com.
From the ranks of the disenfranchised, it's the government's worst nightmare. It's the Krieger Files.
Okay, we're back in the saddle here. I like to use that term, back in the saddle. You know, it's like that song. If you watch the movie Red, you know, where Bruce Willis and the guy from the CIA get into that slugfest, you know, and they play that Back in the Saddle Again by Aerosmith while they're beating the crap out of each other. Hey, you remember that scene? Now people go to YouTube and they go, yeah, let me go watch that one more time and get a visual on this. Yeah, you're talking about the Fed fighting the American people. Yes, of course, the news reports that Powell and the Fed decided to cut the benchmark rate. That's what they loan banks by 25 basis points to a range of 4.25% to 4.5%. And it's likely that they're only going to do this twice next year. You don't know that. Why are they predicting all these things now? You know, the policymakers expect 2 half-point rate cuts in 2025. You see, here's what's happened. Congress and the Fed work hand in hand with each other, as do the courts. So here's the thing about banks and the courts. Because the median policy rate projected to be 3.125% in the next 3 years. This is what the Fed is going to stick the banks with when they go borrow money. What does that do to the interest rate? It might bring it down to like maybe 5%, maybe, by the end of next year. Interest rates, the economy, when Trump takes office, is still going to suck wind. No worse than Monica in Bill's closet, right? It's going to literally suck wind. You're going to hear the sucking sound. All the way through the Trump administration, when he gets sworn in, the economy is still sucking wind. And it's going to stay that way for at least a year. And real estate in certain areas of the country, like Florida, talked to somebody who lives down there last night. They said, yep, real estate prices are definitely falling. I said, yeah, but you wouldn't know that going into Realtor.com. You go looking there for any house in Florida, looks like they've got them all marked up. And why is it that all of the massive equity positions in the west coast of Florida are now all of a sudden for sale? I mean, we're talking about $21.5 million price tag homes that look like, you know, Mar-a-Lago. I mean, why are all these houses for sale all of a sudden? Why are people all of a sudden abandoning these high-ticket homes? How's that possible? You know, was it the hurricanes discouraged them? And they said, oh, look, we've had enough. We're not going to take any more of this. Our properties are going to be devalued, and they're going to be worth what we have in them. We need to put these on the market and sell them right now. And you have to wonder about the number of foreclosures. And this is the thing I'm talking about when we talk about banks and we talk about the banking system and the government voting itself a raise. And basically, it's the federal debt increasing and increasing and increasing, where Trump has his hands tied and he can't do anything about it. But see, what does that do? Even if the government shut down, what does that do for you and me? Are the banks still going to be in business? Well, sure they are. The banks still going to be open. They're not going to shutter their doors, because the Federal Reserve Bank is not federal and it's not a reserve. It is a cartel of foreign entities that control what we do in America financially. It controls every nickel we spend. It has tracking systems through the Depository Trust Company, DTCC. Go look it up. You don't believe me. Every single credit transaction is posted there for everyone, including FinCEN, the government, to view. Generally, and this is the thing about homeowners, you need to know this. In order to win in court, each homeowner's case has to be an individual lawsuit claiming that the bank did not perform, that the bank breached the agreement, and the bank concealed material facts. This is what we tried to tell people. It's one of the reasons why I have decided not to do any more of these on-site classes for homeowners. I'm not doing it. I started out, and you know, it's really funny, is people in the know, people that I know, called me and they says, hey, you know, we've actually talked to people out there. And when I came out with a book, Clouded Titles, and the website is cloudedtitles.com, you can order a book there. I've only got a couple Quiet Title War manuals left, and then they're done. Then I got to have more reprinted. But I mean, the last two copies of the War Manual, which shows you how to do quiet title actions, I actually held and did the majority of the lecturing in a continuing legal education class for attorneys in Austin way back in 2012. I was teaching attorneys how to do quiet title because they didn't know. And I had all the research and they didn't. I was showing them deposition videos. There are many, I mean, every one of those attorneys' heads were buried in their notes, taking notes on everything because they had to depose these people because robo-signing was huge back then. And see, here's the thing. As I said, the bank, you've got to show that the bank breached their agreement and concealed material facts, like they securitized your loan and that you weren't the borrower. Bankers fail when the bank cannot answer court admissions, which is statements that the bank must admit or deny. I had a homeowner call me yesterday and say, hey, you know what? My attorney filed discovery in my case and didn't even send it to me so I could review it before he filed it with the court. I said, sounds like you need to get rid of your lawyer. Sounds like your lawyer is trying to sell you down the river. One homeowner won 3 court cases in a row and lost the 4th case. Why? Because the bank bribed the judge and put $150,000 cash in the judge's personal banking account. The judge might call it a political contribution, but it's used to influence the judge like a bribe. Imagine that. A local newscast on TV explained how a local foreclosure judge amassed an $8 million real estate fortune in 3 to 4 years by working with bankers in buying foreclosed homes. The judge went from no net worth to $8 million worth of net worth in 3 to 4 years with the bankers helping all the way. Judges help the bankers in court, and bankers make sure that the participating judges get the best foreclosure victims with the most equity. One hand washes the other. It's all about profits. Going to court is risky for the homeowner. The homeowner's playing the banker's sandbox. I've said this time and again about the sandbox. The bankers make up the rules as they play the money game. Bank victories in court can be explained in another way. An individual homeowner scored a win in a given situation within weeks of the court decision favorable to the homeowner. More than 1,500 other homeowners rushed to the courts, filed identical lawsuits and complaints. You can't do that. Why does it force that? See, this is why we don't let some of these cases out of the bag, because we're not ready for that yet. People are calling up and saying, hey, what about this case? Can I get a copy of this case? No, because we're using it right now. You can't do that. My research team is using it. Yes, I do have one. It's huge. And see, what happens when you get 15 other homeowners, you know, and people were calling people on my team and saying, hey, Dave Krieger wrote this book, Clouded Titles. He should just give it away to everybody. Really? See, this is when they become entitled. It's what I'm talking about. The dawning of the age of entitlement. Yeah. Everybody thinks, oh, the bank done me wrong. I deserve a free house. And you go into court and you wreak entitlement. And the judge, man, they spot this. It's like sharks circling the chum, and you're the chum. Actually, they make you look like a chump by the time you get out. And you wonder why you're getting screwed. You let attorneys go in and do your talking for you because you don't know any better. This is why 98% of Americans who get served with foreclosure notices run when they get served. They pack up their stuff and move out. And that's exactly what the banks want. They don't want you to fight. They want you to be stupid, just like our government. Our government passes bills that spend because they know you won't do anything about it. Well, you see, the people spoke last November, right? And they voted Trump back in the driver's seat. Now, the Democrats are doing everything in their power to screw people while the foreclosure crisis continues. So when you get these 1,500 other homeowners running to the courts and filing identical lawsuits, the bankers go to Congress and say, we got to change the law or we will have everybody becoming debt free. And that would ship the money to the people and it would change the politics and vote out the banker paid politicians and judges. Congress immediately changes the law and the 1,500 court cases get thrown out and the people lose. This is how it works. One third of Congress are directly related to bankers by birth or they get money from bankers. Nobody bothers to investigate this before they cast their vote for these people. The big banks have boasted the bankers' money controls both sides of the election. It controls the major media through loans, advertising money, direct ownership. Bankers simply remind the politicians if they don't cooperate with the bankers will heavily fund the politician's opponent during the next election, which means they're buying them off. The same big bankers intimidated that if American voters awaken to the truth, American citizens would win the election and change the banking system. Citizens, if organized, would win elections and control the laws. All they got to do is point to control of the big banks. Remember U.S. Congressman James Traficant from Ohio who spoke out against the bankers, called out the IRS, privately owned Federal Reserve System collection agency, a bunch of thieves? Well, he went to jail. Traficant said it was selective prosecution and a conspiracy to put him in jail. See, this is what happens when you get into Congress and you speak out against bankers. They were out to get him. The government was out to get him. This is what goes on. The Tucson Citizen newspaper published an article in 03 about how the FBI had a practice of misleading judges to get search warrants and arrest people. Going to court is not the solution for the homeowner. It costs money and it takes time. So only when you wake up are you going to be able to change things. We're going to try to get Lex Green on the phone after we come back from the news break. Stay with us.
Taking back America, one consumer at a time. It's the Krieger Files.
All right, we're back after the news break. Lex Green joins us. The last time I talked to Lex was on the old show. Many of you know him. He's an author on News with Views, and he's very well published. He is also a constitutionalist. He joins us this morning. Good morning, sir. Welcome back to the show.
Good morning, David. Pleasure to be here.
Well, and so the most recent articles I pulled down, one talks about the true birthright citizenship regarding what's going to happen as of January 20th of next year, which is something that people are panicking now because, oh, we can't deport all these illegal immigrants. We need them here. Not only do we need to make them registered voters, but we need to put them in the fields. They need to be out there picking cotton.
That's a pretty accurate depiction. Go ahead.
we can't get the white folk to go out and pick cotton, so we gotta go do it. My black drill sergeant when I was in during NAM actually said that black people can get sunburned. And I'm going, you gotta be kidding. I thought the pigment's in your skin. He goes, oh no, don't believe that nonsense. The thing is, I'm not being racist here, folks, because, you know, red and yellow, black and white, all are precious in the sight. Got that? All right. So understand that, you know, all of these stereotypes that people are coming up with right now, it's divisiveness. And this is what has finally awakened so many Americans. Lex Green wrote another article called Winning the War Battle by Battle. And this was about the 2024 elections. What's so significant about this, Lex?
I think what I hope people learned from the 2016 election and 2020 elections headed into 2024 is that a president alone isn't really as powerful as people think, and they're not supposed to be, by the way. They're not supposed to be dictators. They have to be able to work with others to make good things happen in the country or make bad things happen in the country. is what's going on right now in D.C. this week. And so I think what I hope in the latter column, the winning the war battle by battle, I hope what people realize is a single election isn't the answer. A single individual isn't the answer by itself. And the 76 or 77 million people who got up and voted again for Donald Trump, and I want to make a comment just about that in a second, they need to understand that they can't just go home, sit on the couch, and wait to see what happens for the next 4 years this time. We're at the brink. America's at the brink of collapse. It's been pushed intentionally to the edge of the cliff. We managed to get an election where we could tamp down the election fraud from the past and reelect Donald Trump. But Donald Trump alone cannot bring us all the way back from the brink and turn the country in the right direction for future Americans. That's going to require the 77 million people that voted for him to give him that job, to stand with him every day between now and 4 years from now to accomplish those things. The will of the people is ultimately what matters. And so, but the will of the people has to happen 365 days a year, not just once every 4 years.
Well, see, part of my problem here is that, you know, when they make somebody their God like this, I mean, it's a make America great again, MAGA. I mean, that whole thing has been, you know, stereotyped. And this is not the alt-right because, you know, we've got Hakeem Jeffries saying if we don't vote this bill in, I mean, it's a 1,547-page bill on spending, and Trump calls the Republicans and says, I'm not going to be hamstrung by this bill all the way through my term. I mean, this is what they're trying to do is sabotage him before he even gets in. And then Steve Quayle is saying, oh, they're going to launch nukes. And I'm like, okay, come on. The fear-mongering's got to stop, folks. We need to wake up to the reality that, you know, we did our duty to go to the polls, but now as of January 21, and I'm talking about the 21st of January when the half day is over before the inaugural celebration, Tom Homan is going to go after people, including those who cross the border to have an anchor baby. I mean, this is one thing that you wrote about. Could you explain about birthright citizenship for those who don't understand?
Yeah, and it's amazing how many don't understand because it's very simple. Really, it's been intentionally convoluted by, you know, political people with political interests and agendas. You know, fundamentally, birthright citizenship means the right to become a citizen at birth by tacit consent. That's essentially what the term means, birthright citizenship. In other words, the right is not derived from any governmental action. It's derived from birth itself. If there's no question that when you and your wife give birth to a child, that that is your child, and you happen to be a citizen of this particular country or any other for that matter, it should go without saying that the birthright of that child is to belong to the same country that you belong to. It's really just that simple as far as what birthright citizenship truly is. As it relates to Article 2 in the Constitution and the requirements to hold the offices of president and vice president, the requirement doesn't say birthright citizenship. It says natural-born citizen. Well, natural-born citizen is someone who is a citizen by birthright. So they're synonymous terms, and they have nothing whatsoever to do with the 14th Amendment. The 14th Amendment is a naturalization amendment. If someone acquires citizenship in the United States by way of the 14th Amendment or naturalization statute adopted by Congress and signed into law, well, then they're a naturalized citizen of the United States. They're not natural born, and they didn't become a citizen by birthright. They came and they became a citizen by legislative process.
So it's no wonder that everybody's got a problem, and they call them birthers, about Obama and where he actually came from.
Yeah, and it's not so much where someone is born. I address this in the column you're referring to birthright citizenship at News with Views. People should read it to understand what it is because it's critical to who and what America is. And so Obama claims to have been born in Hawaii, but there's records that say he was born in Kenya. But that's not the biggest issue here. The biggest issue is he has claimed Barack Obama Sr. as his birth, natural birth father, and Barack Obama Sr. was a citizen of Kenya, at no time in his life a citizen of the United States. So it was not possible for Barack Obama Sr. to pass legal citizenship to his son in the United States because he didn't possess that in order to pass it to his son at birth, number one. Number two, the records also show that Barack Obama was adopted in his youth by La Rosa Toro in Indonesia and attended school there in Jakarta. And so he became a legal citizen of Indonesia by adoption. And then when he returned to the United States and attended college at Occidental College, he was attending college as Barry Satoru, the son of Indonesian citizen Lolo Satoru. So it's not so much where someone is born. Think about it this way. You and your wife are traveling. You decide to take a six-month sabbatical in Europe and travel around between France and Germany and Italy and Spain and visit, you know, that part of the world. And during that time frame, it just so happens that your wife gives birth to a child. None of the country that you happen to give birth in has no legal right to lay claim to that child as a citizen of their country just because they were born on that soil. That child was born an American citizen by birthright, just as if they were born in the USA.
Yeah, I hope people understand that because, see, when you're talking about the Fifth Amendment, the right to due process, the redress of grievance under the First Amendment, you know, we've been talking about this foreclosure crisis. I mean, this is something that's happening right now because a majority of Americans are living in poverty. They're living from paycheck to paycheck. 60% of America is right now. This is all part of this battle that we are in the middle of right now. And we don't need a war to do this. And I'm talking about overseas wars, which is one of the reasons why. And I will say this, Lex, during 2016, Americans were at peace because we weren't in the middle of a conflict. I mean, that wasn't the focal point. The focal point was trying to make things happen as positive for the American people as possible. But I think that with all of this garbage going on against Trump during 2016, much of it, the Russia, 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 all this other garbage, you think, you see the Democrats trying to pull the same garbage again, or you think people have awakened to this that they are not going to tolerate it?
I hate to say it, but watching what is Democrats have been doing since November 5th, it looks more and more each day like they may be headed into scorched earth here. Scorched earth being a policy that says, if I can't have it, you can't have it either. If you're not going to allow us to control this country, we're not going to allow you to have them either. And we can talk about that after the break.
Yeah, you think this is going to ramp up, of course. Here's the thing, folks. Yeah, just because what you hear, I mean, Hakeem Jeffries started it by saying, well, by not voting for this big spending bill, we don't get a raise, and you people are going to get screwed out of your benefits. And it's like, now there's so much pork in this bill, it's incredible. We'll be back with a conversation with Lex Green after these messages. Stay with us.
Many Americans are growing increasingly concerned about the rapidly growing U.S. government deficits, recognizing the additional printing of paper money devalues U.S. currency. To compensate, American gold and silver coins will provide wealth protection. U.S. Coin Capital provides physical gold and silver coins delivered directly to our clients. You can reach us at 1-800-878-2646, uscoincapital.com.
Molesting your earballs one more time. It's the Krieger Files with your host, Dave Krieger.
All right. Yes, the name Krieger, it means warrior, right? Understand, we are at war with our government. You know, see, we put Donald Trump in a position of power, but it doesn't happen until January 20th, and we've got to get through J6 first. So, of course, we're warning people, please do not go to the Capitol and make a repeat performance of this. If Antifa and everybody else wants to go and turn this into blood sport, let them do it and watch the difference between how they get prosecuted and what they're now doing to J6 prisoners. and see if Trump pardons all these people on day two. That's going to be a good thing because he didn't do anything wrong. They want to pin it on him. It's like pinning the tail on the donkey. But the funny thing about it is the donkey represents the Democrat Party. And I don't see a need for them anymore because, they need to just change the way we think because this is about politics right now. It's a blood sport. And according to Lex Green, who wrote the article, and I'm talking about the one on News with Views, winning the war battle by battle, you know, specifically, you're talking about a corrupt sewer full of poisonous vipers. That would be a fair statement and a fair quote from this article. Lex Green, welcome back.
Thank you, Dave.
So the corrupt government, first off, I know that we've got identity politics and we've got that's something that's going to have to go away. And in addition to that, election integrity is like literally Steve Stern and others are going full tilt boogie on this stuff. And more of these lawsuits about election integrity are coming to the forefront. People are trying to straighten out the election system because we cannot have the same kind of garbage that happened in 2020 with a major lockdown. And see, people, these 77 million people you were talking about are going to have to actually take a stand and in the right direction, wipe the slime off their face every time the left throws something at them and not believe half the crap Washington DC espouses. I mean, that's just the beginning of it, isn't it?
It is. It's gotten to the point where I really don't believe anything Washington DC says. I don't believe anything ABC, CBS, NBC, MSNBC, Fox. I don't believe anything they say. It's really become a country where you have to, you know, the people have to search for truth. It's not readily available. And even if you go out on the internet and search for truth, search engine manipulations and censorship, you know, on the internet everywhere makes it hard to find truth there too. That's why it's important to have shows like yours and others out there that are out there making sure that the people have access to what's really going on and what's true, because through the mainstream and even the secondary, the social media side, there's more, you know, there's more lies than there is truth out there. And you have to be able to discern the difference between the two for starters. But one thing I want to remind listeners of is that there's no such thing as good government. There never has been. In all of human history, there's no such thing. There's tolerable government and intolerable government. Government always seeks more power, more wealth, more power, more wealth, more control. Governments, once they are developed, they always seek to gain more power for themselves. And the only way they can do that is to take the power from the people.
This is true. And the thing is that this government here in the United States, we have so many people out there, like all of these illegal immigrants that have come into this country. They depend on that $9,000 debit card, which basically, and this is another thing that they're trying to do. They're trying to scare the American people into believing that this debt is national debt. This debt is a federal debt. There is a difference. The U.S. government Inc. owns the debt. It is an Article I administrative state. It passes bills. It does stuff. And why is it that all of these politicians have to lie to people and make them feel like the debt is their responsibility and not the responsibility of their government incorporated?
They can't do what they're doing by telling the truth.
And
they have to lie.
That's true.
They have to lie. And they have to fear monger. You know, and they have to put people in a corner. You know, isn't it ironic that this happens, this debt ceiling and this crisis of needing another continuing resolution, you know, and another one and another one. By the way, again, listeners need to understand, the government's been functioning on continuing resolutions since 1998, 26 years. They haven't passed, Congress hasn't passed not one legitimate constitutional annual budget for the federal government in 26 years. The last time that was done was in 1998 via Newt Gingrich's contract with America, which he was able to get Bill Clinton to sign off on. That's the first in many years of a legitimate constitutional budget at that point. It's the last one we've had since. Ever since then, we're operating on these continuing resolutions, which is unconstitutional practice all by itself. But then when you get into what they put in these bills, and then they always set the sunset timeline for when, right before Christmas, right when everybody's already strapped. They've been struggling just to put food on the table for the last 4 years. And now they're trying to make their way through a Merry Christmas. And what do they got to deal with? Government potential shutdown. That's a gun to the head. They don't want to think about a government shutdown. The people don't. They want to think about making it through Christmas and New Year's. That's what they want to think about. They don't want to be drawn away from that and threatened with a government shutdown. Nobody even really knows what that means. But in general, I can tell you, the essential operations continue, whether they pass this CR or not. It's all the other things, the discretionary spending, that stops, not the basic functions of government, which all the other things need to stop anyway.
But see, people don't understand that. That's part of it. You know, half these people, they're not educated. They don't study political science. I majored in it in college. They don't study this stuff. They don't understand what's going on. And, you know, what they're doing now is promoting OpenAI. Yesterday rolls out a new way to talk to its 1-800-CHAT-GPT. And you can dial the number for 15 minutes of free access a month. And any user globally can message the number via WhatsApp. And, of course, 1-800-CHAT-GPT, what are they going to tell you? I mean, it's an easy, convenient, low-cost way to try it out through familiar channels, and God only knows what OpenAI is going to tell you besides, hey, isn't it time to put a gun to your own head and save yourself from all this insanity? I mean, this is the kind of junk that's going on right now, and this is all part of the left's move to try to take control and government's move to take control of America, is it not?
It is, and I'm telling you right now, don't trust it. When I was working on the column on birthright citizenship, I did a Google search looking for some pieces I'd written many years ago on the subject. And ironically, it brought me up right away and showed and brought up AI within a matter of 1 or 2 seconds from the search. Brought up pieces I'd written many years ago on the subject. But it brought it up with its own interpretation of what I wrote. Now, it quoted certain things from those old columns from 30 years ago. Okay, but it drew its own different conclusion than the conclusion in the piece. It drew a conclusion similar to what government wants you to believe birthright citizenship is, even though it drew it from a piece I'd written 30 years ago that drew the opposite conclusion. So you don't trust AI to tell you what's real either.
But everybody thinks that's the way of the future. And unfortunately, I think a lot of this is people who are not awakened to what's going on. Folks, if you dial into this number, this 1-800-CHAT-GPT, they're going to be curious. Yeah, I wonder what's going to happen when we dial into this thing and we start talking to it. What's going to happen then? I mean, aren't you just the least bit curious? Here's the thing. Ye shall not surely die. Remember what Satan said to Eve? You know, you're just as good as God here. Go ahead and take a bite of the apple or whatever it was that she did that caused their eyes to be open and they were naked and they hid themselves. You know, I mean, you really want to take that chance? And of course, the kids are going to be all over that. This is something where the parents, like, now they're demonizing the shooter up in Wisconsin and saying she was connected to some satanic pedo ring. And I'm just like, you know, they do this to everybody. This is no different. You know, I mean, it's obvious that we have a lot of people out there that have mental issues because, and they're so confused because the parents are not taking an active role. I mean, the active role in starting to upright this country starts at home, does it not?
It has to start at home, and it has to stay at home, by the way, because, you know, this goes back to Hillary Clinton in the 1990s. It takes a village to raise, you know, a child. No, it doesn't. It takes parenting to raise a good, decent child. And because parents have not been doing that for decades now, we have things like Antifa. We have things like BLM. You know, I personally believe that all of this stuff is generated by government, by politicians, strictly for the purpose of degrading the United States and the society as a whole. You know, you mentioned early in the conversation about people believing we need all these illegal migrants, not immigrants, in our country because the white folk won't do that kind of work anymore, which is to some degree true. But would we need 70 million illegal aliens if we hadn't killed 70 million natural-born American citizens over the last 50 years?
Oh, wow. Good point. Yeah, see, that's why we don't need wars either. Americans need to start procreating and doing what God intended. Lex Green, it's always enlightening to have you on the show. We'll do this again. I know you keep writing those articles with news, with views. Folks, they need your donations, too, if you go to News with Views, you know, to stay and put these articles out. I know some of them have been sounding a little divisive lately, but, hey, that's all part of outgrowing what we've been programmed with for the next 4 years from the last 4 years. Thank you so much, Les. God bless you for the work you do. And in the meantime, tomorrow, Trevor Loudon joins us. Dr. James Thorpe will be on the Krieger Files on Monday. In the meantime, God bless you and God bless the United States of America. See you tomorrow.